6 days of creation. We started this this series of lessons way back weeks ago in looking at the story of creation, the fact that, the Bible tells us God created the world in 6 days. And if you remember, we had 6 days from that Sunday when we started this to the next Sunday, the Saturday before that, where I challenged everyone to create your own spiritual growth plan for 2022. And that's what we're looking at now. We're going through and looking at those various things. It's about your personal spiritual growth plan and what you put together, okay? And there are 6 different areas that I chose for us to focus on and challenge us for spiritual growth, not only just for us as individuals, but also that then affecting the spiritual growth of the church. The more that we each grow spiritually, the stronger spiritually the church grows. And that's what really this is all about. Now, we began in talking about worship. Okay, that was our first area of focus in challenging us to look at our worship. And personally, how can we grow in our worship experience? And then we talked about prayer. And again, challenging us to look at our prayer life and what are some things we can do to really build and strengthen our prayer life. And so this morning, we continue in this series talking about Bible study. What do we need to really understand about Bible study? And this isn't just mechanics here. But there's a few things that I want to challenge you to really think about God's Word that might help you and challenge you to go, okay, I need to take this a lot more seriously than perhaps I have been in the past. All right? So let's talk about Bible study. We begin talking about the words of life. Okay? And as I mentioned to you earlier in our Bible study time, and then this was our scripture reading this morning, look at what it says. In the beginning, okay, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the significance that John emphasizes in using the word here is for us to understand that God has a message for us. Okay? And he gave us that message through his Son. Now, when we really understand the impact of that, what does that really mean? Okay? Then what it should be telling us is, when I'm reading the Word, all right, I'm listening to Jesus. Okay? I'm not just reading a bunch of words. I'm listening to Jesus himself. Okay? Because he is the Word. John goes on to tell us that in him was life. And that life was the light of men. So here's an important part of the impact of what that really means, okay? That the words of Jesus brings life to those who are dead. To every single one of us here, every one of you who are with us online, if you belong to Christ, okay? At one time in your life, you were dead in your sins. But you listened to and accepted the words of Jesus, which are life. And so you became alive in Christ and are no longer dead. Isn't that great news? You say? That's the power and impact of the Word. Okay? It lights the way out of darkness and death for anyone who will listen to it and accept it. We have to keep in mind that there's only two places you can be, either in the light or in the darkness. And the only way to get from the darkness into the light is by accepting the word of Jesus. Okay? The psalmist writes to us in 119 and verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." His word is intended, as John said, it's light, okay? And it is intended, just as the psalmist here illustrates to us, the idea of a light that is lighting our path so that we can see where we're going. There's been a lot of times here lately when I've gone out, you know, of course it is darker a lot earlier. There's been some times when I've had to go out to my shed after dark. Okay, now I have some really good spotlights on the front of my garage. My shed is actually on the back of my garage. So once you go around the end of the front of the garage, it's just dark back there. I mean, it's dark, dark, because there's a bunch of trees back there. And, you know, if you don't have a light, so I use my light that lights my path. I turn on the light on my phone. You see, and it lights my way so that I'm not stumbling, because there's stuff around over there that I could, you know, trip over. And but that's really the idea that the psalmist here has. You're holding up God's word, and it's a light to shine so that we can see the path that God wants us to go. That's the illustration. That's the visual that he wants us to understand, that God's word is for us. Okay? The writer of Hebrews, and again, we talked about this in our Bible study this morning. Look at what he says in the first two verses. In the past, okay, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. And so we were discussing the way that God spoke to the patriarchs. He spoke to Abraham, to Isaac, Jacob. He spoke to all of them directly. He spoke to the Israelite people over and over again. We talked about many different ways that God spoke to the people to give them his message. And it was a message of salvation. The writer goes on to say, but in these last days, that's the days we're in right now, okay, the Christian age. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The Word. Okay, which Word? The one that was in the beginning. Jesus, his Son. Okay? Whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. God speaks to us through his Son, the Word. He is truly the Word of life because his words are what brings life to all who will accept them. But we need to understand that the Word is only useful if we will listen to it. God has given it to us. Okay? But if we don't listen to it, it's not much use to us. It's kind of like, guys, we're guilty of this, okay? You know, first thing is we're driving around and we don't know really where we're going. What is it that we really don't want to do? We don't want to ask for directions, right? Because that's just not what guys do. All right? But then our wives, after we've got a sore side from them going, stop and ask some directions, we stop. And we find someone that gives us directions. And then we proceed. And as we drive away, we say, do you remember where they said to go, to the right or to the left up here? You say, we didn't really listen, did we? You say, and oftentimes that's what we do with God's word. We hear it, but sometimes we don't listen to it. And when we don't listen, it's not useful to us. And that's one of the reasons why at the Transfiguration, that the clouds opened up, and there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my son whom I love." And look at what he said. Listen to him. Listen to him. He has the words of eternal life. Listen to him. If we don't listen, we'll miss the message of eternal life. Okay? When Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness by Satan, he used the scriptures, which is, help me out here, the Word of God, okay? He used the scriptures to defend himself against Satan's temptations. And look at what he says here. Man shall not live on bread alone, and that's because Satan was tempted him. Tell these stones to turn to bread. You won't be hungry anymore. Man shall not live on bread alone, but by what? Every word that comes from, and where does that word come from? The mouth of God. That's what we live by. You see, it's not just about physical food. It's about the spiritual food, and that's what the word is. Okay? We need to have physical food for nourishment. If you don't eat, you'll die. Okay? But his word is the food that nourishes us to eternal life. All right? In John chapter 6, Jesus there is recorded as giving what is referred to oftentimes as the discourse on the bread of life, or the sermon, okay, about the bread of life. And as Jesus spoke about himself and the word, okay, and the fact that he is the one who gives life, he told his audience things like, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." And the interesting thing about that story is that in chapter 6, verse 66, you notice anything about that particular verse there? Yeah. It says, upon hearing this, many of his disciples turned and followed him no longer. Okay? They said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" They didn't want to accept the words of life. Well, the interesting thing to me about that story continues on in the response that Jesus gave to that. Okay? Well, and I have oftentimes said that sometimes we can learn a lot from what the Bible doesn't say as well as from what it does say. And one of the things that the Bible doesn't say right there is that Jesus ran after those disciples and said, "Well, wait a minute, guys. Wait a minute. Let's talk about this. I didn't really mean it that way." No, he didn't do that. He didn't water it down. He didn't try to make it more palatable for them, more acceptable for them. You know what he did? He turned to his disciples, the 12, and he said, "Do you want to leave too? Right? You want to leave too?" And Peter responded by saying, "Lord, to whom should we go? For only you have the words of eternal life." There it is again, the words. It's all about the words. The words that bring eternal life. Because his words are life. Okay? Secondly, let's talk about the word as being a living and active word. Okay? I don't know how many of you have ever seen, you know, the Frankenstein movies, right? And Frankenstein is experimenting, creating his own person. When life appears, what does he say? "It's alive! It's alive!" Right? Well, hopefully, by me pointing that out to you, you'll remember this part of the lesson this morning, okay? Because that's exactly what the Bible says about itself. It's alive! It's alive. Okay? In our study that we just completed a few weeks ago with Shane Wood on Between Two Trees, he made a couple of really profound statements that we need to really let them sink in. Okay? Here's what he said. Whenever we read the Bible, we sometimes forget that we are engaging something that is alive, that is living, that is moving, that is breathing, and look at this last part, and that longs to transform us. Okay? The Bible isn't just a book or a collection of books for us to read for entertainment or just to pass the time or to help us to fall asleep at night. It's alive. It is living, you see. And its task, and perhaps maybe you've never thought about it this way, the purpose and the task of God's Word is to transform our lives. And if it doesn't do that, then it's not working on us. Shane goes on to say this, it's not how we read the Bible, but how does the Bible read us? Now let that sink in for a moment, okay? The Bible, he says, comes close to us and asks questions like, who are you? And who have you become? Only a living word can challenge us like that. Because that's what it is designed and intended to do. To transform our lives from where we are to where God wants us to be. And the only way for it to do that is for it to be living and active in our lives. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that's what it is. The Word of God is, he says, living and active. It's not just a book that was written thousands of years ago and it's there, yeah, nice to read if you like that kind of stuff. It is a living, active document, the Word of Almighty God. And then he tells us what it does. This living, this Word that is alive, okay, what does it really do? And this is a part that perhaps why we don't spend as much time with it as we should, because this part calls upon us to realize some things about ourselves. Look at what he says. It's sharper than a double-edged sword, and it penetrates, even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And not only that, he says, but it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So the Word of God is active, it's living in the sense that what it does, it is designed to cut deeply into us, into our very soul, into our being, and then to challenge us. Okay. To challenge us by judging our thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. Because unless that happens, the transformation that needs to take place will not happen. And so God has given us in His Word the mechanism by which we can be transformed from someone who is dead to someone who is alive. And that Word literally lives within us to cut deeply, to penetrate into our lives so that we can see what needs to be transformed so that we can become more like Jesus. His Word then lives in us so that we're transformed into the image of Christ. Okay? One of the things that I came to as I was preparing my plan, okay, my personal growth plan when it comes to Bible study, is that I came to a realization that as much as I study the Word, and I study it all the time, I really need to allow His Word to pierce me a lot more than I oftentimes do. I need to allow it to convict me. Because I don't know about you, but I also realize and know that I still got a lot of transforming to be done. God's still working on me. The only way that it will continue to live in my life is if I allow His Word to pierce and convict me. All right? And I need to have the right heart for His Word. I don't know about you, but I know sometimes because I do study the Bible so much, there are times when I find myself just kind of glossing over it, if you will. You know, yeah, I know what that passage says, and go on. And so sometimes, I'm just being honest, sometimes my heart's not in it as much as it really needs to be. You see? And I'm wondering if maybe any of you struggle with that too. Finally, let's talk about the useful Word. Okay, the Bible is useful. How many of you have been to Cracker Barrel? All right, not for a long time, but most everybody in here has been to Cracker Barrel. And so you sit there in Cracker Barrel and you look at all the stuff that's hanging on the walls and from the ceiling and all of that kind of stuff. You ever look at some of that stuff and go, I wonder what that is? Any of you ever done that? Yeah, there's, if some of you aren't acknowledging that, then you're giving away your age, okay? If you know what everything in there is used for, then you're giving away your age, all right? Okay, so let's just for a moment take a look at some things and ask the question, what is that and what is it used for? I don't think we'll have a lot of problem with these things, but maybe at least they'll bring memories. A couple of you in here may not know what some of these things are, but first of all, what is that? That's an iron, okay? Way back when you had to take it and put it on a hot stove and heat it up that way, and then iron your clothes, put it back on the stove and heat it up again, right? Okay? How about those? Those are hand mixers, okay? That was way before the electric mixers by hand or the big ones. What's that thing called you have, that big mixer you have? A KitchenAid. Okay, that does all kinds of stuff. This was all old-fashioned, crank it by hand, all right? Okay, how many of you honestly remember what these are? Okay, I'm surprised. These are five and a quarter inch floppy disk drives for a computer. Okay? All right, that's what they are. Where you store all kinds of stuff on. And the younger people today will look at that and go, what's that for? All right? How about these? Yeah, 45 RPM records, right? And again, some people today will go, what is that? Okay, Mildred knows what those are, don't you, Mildred? Yeah, you still have some. I do too. Yeah, we still have our collection of them, all right? Okay, how about this odd kind of shape thing? Anybody know what that is? Okay, yeah, that is a conductor that goes on electrical poles. And the wire goes around and it just helps conduct the electricity down the lines. That's what that is. Okay, how about that one? That's a horse collar, okay? Now, probably a lot of folks know what that is because you've seen it on the Westerns, right? But how many of you have actually seen one in person actually on a horse? Anybody? Okay, a couple of people. I've seen them, all right? Okay, here's the last one. The question is, or the statement, kids nowadays have no idea what the relationship is between these two things, a pencil and a cassette tape. Anybody here not know what the relationship is between those? Be honest. Raise your hand. Okay, so everybody knows that back then, in order to rewind the tape, you stick the pencil in the hole and twist it around, right? Okay, that was really, really high tech back then, right? That's how we rewound those things. But you know, this the idea is that sometimes we look at things, especially old things, and we either don't know or we've forgotten how useful those things were. Okay? Well, there's a lot of people today that question the usefulness of the Bible. What good is it? I mean, it's such an old book, isn't it? And not only that, but what does it have to do with us today? I mean, it was written about people thousands of years ago. So how can it possibly be useful or have any relevance for us today? In fact, you can go to a lot of universities today and you can study the Bible. There are courses offered by universities all over the world on the Bible from a historical significance. Okay? That's basically how they study it. Or there are those courses that offer it from a perspective of poetry. There's a lot of good poetry in the Bible. Let's look at it from that perspective. And for a lot of people, in looking at the Bible, and I'll just use the word studying it, okay, that's basically the usefulness or significance that they see it for today. All right? What is it? The Word of God. And all they want to do is study it for its poetic significance or its historical significance. Not understanding this is the very words of Almighty God. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, says this about God's Word. And notice he begins by using the word all. Okay? All Scripture. So, how much of the Scripture then is not included in this statement? The answer is none of it. Okay? He says all Scripture is God-breathed. And literally that means it's spoken out of the mouth of God. Which is what, as we saw a few moments ago, Jesus referred to when he was tempted by Satan. That man lives not by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that's literally what it means. It is breathed, literally spoken by God. And then he goes on to say this. It is useful for some things. So again, the Bible is not just, you know, something that's a historical document to be looked at out of curiosity. He says it is useful. And what is it useful for? Well, these are four really significant things that the Bible is useful for. First of all, he says it is useful for teaching. Okay? It is useful for rebuking. It is useful for correcting. And it is useful for training in righteousness. So, like the stuff that's hanging on the walls of Cracker Barrel, we can look at that stuff and go, what is that for? The Apostle Paul is showing us in God's Word, and he's saying about it, he's saying, look, here it is hanging on the wall before you. Here's what it's useful for. You don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder. You can know that it is useful for those four things. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And why do we need that? He goes on to tell us why. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I heard that somebody, and I don't remember now who it is off the top of my head, but somebody looked at that and translated and said, that's thoroughly equipped. I agree with that. Okay? They're thoroughly equipped, through and through equipped to do every good work. How? By God's Word. That's what God's Word is intended to do, is thoroughly equip us to do what He has given us to do. So yes, the Word of God is useful today to prepare people to do what God wants them to do. Okay? Wesley has a song that he has chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And I hope that the things that I've shared with you this morning cause you to be just looking at the Word, and perhaps maybe in a way that you haven't seen it before, and to realize that God wants His Word to live actively in you so that it can transform you to be what He wants you to be like His Son, Jesus. So we have this opportunity for anyone that is here with us physically, if there's a need that you have, a prayer request that you have, to let us know what it is so that we can share that and we can bring that before the Lord. For those of you who are not with us physically, you're worshiping with us online, if there's anyone out there who has a prayer request, while we're doing this song, you can text either Wesley or me. Our phone numbers will be on the bottom of the slides. You can text us and give us your prayer request, and we will address that. And if there's anyone out there watching us who is not yet a Christian, if you haven't given your life to Christ, but you're ready to do that, then you can do that as soon as is possible with you. All you have to do is contact us and let us know that that's what you desire, and we will make that happen as soon as we can get with you and make it happen. No delays, all right? All you got to do is let us know. The Lord's invitation is open to all. So Wesley, come on up and lead us, and let's stand together and sing.